kind of picking up on that thought, just want to give you an opportunity to, and this is going to be kind of a short time today, but I want it to be kind of, if you could do it in one or two words, something that you're thankful for this morning. Just one or two words. You know, so hence, friends, you know, something like that. Or my friends, that's two words. So anyway, but just kind of popcorn, Thanksgiving. We're going to, as we go on, next week we're going to do more, and the week after that is Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're going to have a good time of sharing then. So just, but speak loud. What are you thankful for?
Family.
Family, wonderful.
Health.
Sorry?
Prayers of others.
One more time.
Prayers of others.
Prayers of others. That's three words, but we'll take it.
God's faithfulness.
God's faithfulness.
A living God.
A living God.
Our spouse.
Our spouses.
Such support.
Yeah.
Grace.
You know, balcony, you can say something too.
Shelter.
Thank you. See, I knew if I encouraged them, they would speak.
Our community.
Church family.
Others?
Grandchildren.
Oh, yeah. I wish. I'd be so thankful for them when they come. Grandchildren, yes. I just gotta get back at her. She told me to sit down. I didn't say children, did I? Actually, I am thankful for my children. Okay. I've got great kids.
Actually, I've had a grace all years at the. I had North Spokane. I had this cancer. It was an melanoma. It was a high progressive type. Went through a lot of radiations, treatments, and sent off to go over to Pullman and went through a lot of different images and everything from the head to the toe. They said that about the doctor Lane spoke in and come back and notified my daughter Kathy. Says, you contact your dad and say he's cancer free. So I give a praise to the Lord that he healed me.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Cancer free, two words. So,
a forgiving God.
Forgiving God. Yeah, boy, we need that, don't we? Okay, well, you can be thinking for next Sunday what you might say, and I'm going to give you more than two words next Sunday. I'll give you three or four. I just want to encourage you to be short. This week I'm going to be focusing on Thanksgiving in my sermons too. And today we're going to look at a kind of a different passage of scripture. It has to do with a group of men that were in a bad way and they needed some healing. And the reason I picked this story, because I think it fits so well with us and with mankind. And as we go through the story, I'm thinking you'll kind of get what I'm getting at. And I picked this particularly in light of Communion Sunday to give us an idea that we can, even if nothing else is going right in our life, there's one thing that we can always be thankful for, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. But open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Now, this is an incident when Jesus was traveling along the way, and he was between Samaria and Galilee, and this is what happened. It says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Where were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this morning, Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to give us your word, to give us instruction, to teach us your ways and the paths that we need to go. Father, as we look at your word, I pray that you would unleash the power of your word in our hearts. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would take these words that we read and apply them to our lives that we might grow in you. Speak to us now through your word, through your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I looked at this story, I really was thinking, this is a story about 10 men who needed something and asked and received what they needed. But I also think that this story really is a good parallel to us and to the need that we have as human beings. And as I look at the story, there are 4 things that we have in common with the 10 leprous men. And we're going to look at those 4 things. The first one is, the thing that we have in common with them, I'm going to do this quickly because I don't want to take away from the Lord's table this morning. But the first thing that we have in common with them is that they were separated and we are separated. See, they were lepers. And in those days, lepers had a very, well, it just was not an easy life. We go back into, we look at our passages, verses 11 and 12. It says, while he was on his way into Jerusalem, passing between Samaria and Galilee, he entered the village. 10 lepers, men, were standing at a distance. They were standing at a distance and they met him. Now, the only way that they could meet him, it says they raised their voices because they couldn't come close to Jesus. They had to stay a distance. It was the law. They couldn't go into the village. If they did, they'd have to cover their face, and they would have to say, lepers, lepers, lepers. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you like to walk up and down the streets of Colfax hollering, lepers, lepers? You know, Colfax is a very friendly town, but how many people do you think would come up and talk to you? Probably not too many. Because they were separated. They had to be separated. Leprosy was a contagious disease. And it was a disease that they had no cure for. And so the only thing that they could do is to separate them from the rest of people. And so you did have, at those times, groups of lepers because they would associate with each other. They didn't have anyone else to associate with. We go back to the Old Testament, and the reason for this is Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, where it says, As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, Unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. Now, I say, well, that's harsh. Well, it's harsh, but also It was to protect the other people because of the contagiousness of this disease. But it was a hard life. They were separated from the rest of humanity. We have a disease too. It's not leprosy. Leprosy can be cured now, which is wonderful. But it couldn't back then. But we have a disease. It's called sin. Sin doesn't separate us from one another, but sin separates us from God. Because we are unclean. Because we have sinned, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like these lepers, we're separated. Not from one another, but we are separated from God. And just like the lepers, we are helpless to do anything about it. We are helpless to do anything about it. In those days, there was no cure for leprosy. There was none. And it said, as long as they had the infection. Well, they had the infection until they died. So they were separated until they died. And there was nothing they could do about it. Absolutely nothing. They couldn't go to another's village and find a doctor. They couldn't go to a university and find a study. And there were no miracle drugs in those days that would heal them from this disease. They were helpless. They were helpless and hopeless, I'm going to put it that way too. But you know, it's the same thing with sin and us. Because of sin, we are helpless. There is nothing that we can do to get rid of the sin in our life. Nothing that we can do. And we cannot be good enough. We cannot just say, okay, and even if we could say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to start being good and I'm not going to sin anymore, which is foolishness. Of course, we can't do that. But even if we could, that's wonderful. But you know what? It doesn't take care of the sin that is behind us. It's still there. And we can't remove that. Now, God gave us the law, or gave the Jews the law, and that law is not a way of salvation. Well, it is if you can follow it to the letter, like Jesus Christ did. But it is a measuring stick. It shows us the sin that is in our life. But one of the things that the law does not do is it has no clause in there for ridding yourself of sin. Now, there were sacrifices that you could do that would temporarily, you know, atone for the sin, but there was no way to rid the sin out of us. So, we are helpless. But here's a great verse, Romans 5, 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Then Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why we were yet sinners, and the reason that that is so important, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, is because we can never stop being sinners. So if Christ didn't die for those who were sinners, his death would have been in vain because he wouldn't have been able to die for him. But he died for us who are sinners. See, we were helpless. There wasn't anything we could do about it. We're sinners. Just like the men who had their leprosy. Nothing they could do about it. They were leprous. They couldn't help themselves. Neither could we help ourselves. But God could. And he did. Because the third thing that we see that happens to these men, and it correlates to us as human beings, is they were reconciled. It was put right. If we look at the story here, let's go Luke 17, go to 13 and 14, it says, "And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he heard, when he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed." A miracle had happened. They could not get the leprosy, they could not remove it from them, but God could. And Jesus did. He says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now you're kind of like, well, why in the world would you go and show yourself to a priest? Well, that's the only way they could be declared clean, is by the proclamation of a priest. It's the only way that they could have this stamp, this separation, this only way it could be removed from them. Now God cleared them, Jesus cured them of their leprosy, but they still had to be pronounced whole. And so that's where they're going to the priest. So they were made whole by Jesus Christ. Well, we have two. We have two. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." See, we were sinners and we were hopeless and helpless, but yet Christ died for us so that we could be reconciled to him. And that's the only way that we can be reconciled to God. That's the only way that the separation from God can be removed and we can come close to God, is through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Grace you have been saved. Nothing we did. It was nothing that these lepers did to get cured, other than calling out to Jesus and hoping that he could cure them. He could and he did. Well, we need to call out to God. Because God can heal us. God can remove the sin from us. God can remove the barrier that separates us from him, so that we can come to him. We are reconciled, just like these lepers were reconciled. They were restored to their health. We have been restored to our God. And we now have access to our God. And we have hope of living our lives eternally with God. But there's a last little thing of this story that's kind of sad. And this is where we differ a little bit with a lot of the lepers. But we can and should identify with the one. Because if we start in verse 15, it says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." 10 were healed. Only one came to give thanks to Jesus for doing that. We have been reconciled to God, not by anything that we have done, but by what God has done. So, what is our response to that? Well, we should be excited. That's true. And it's sad that a lot of Christians aren't excited. We should be, because we have a wonderful future in store for us with God in heaven. But beyond that, we should also be thankful. Because this is a God thing. God did this. God saved us. God provided the way. God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. There is nothing in that about us, other than that we are so loved that God was willing to do that. So what should our response be to that? Well, Psalms 95, 1 and 2 says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs." Now, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. We are so blessed in so many ways. But even if we didn't have all the blessings of living in a prosperous nation and living in a very rich farmland that provides for this community, you know, even if we were living in a place, and there's so many places in the world where there's so much poverty and people have so little or nothing, and yet in those places we see people who are thankful because they have Jesus Christ in their heart. And we need to be thankful because we have Jesus Christ who died on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Give thanks to God for his incredible gift. The incredible gift is Jesus Christ. And the gift of salvation that comes through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, we shouldn't be fearful. We shouldn't be down. We shouldn't, yes, we need to reflect on what Jesus Christ did for us and the price that he paid for us. But he didn't do that so that we could be burdened. He did that so we could be freed to give thanks and to have joy in our life. So as we gather around the Lord's table and we remember what Jesus Christ did for us today, we need to do this with an attitude of thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for his incredible gift. Now, again, God did not save us so that we could be fearful, or that we can feel guilty, or that we should feel down about ourselves. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus down the cross so that we can be reconciled, put back into a right relationship with God. And the attitude he wants out of us is joy and thanksgiving and praise and adoration for the work that he has done for us. So as we gather around the table this morning, we do this to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. But this morning I really want to emphasize that we do this also in thanksgiving. Praising God for what he has done for us. Let's pray. Father, like the 10 lepers, we were helpless. We were hopeless. We were separated from you. And there's nothing that we could do about it. But because of your love, you sent Jesus Christ to come and to take our sin upon himself and to die on the cross for us, that we might once again be joined with you and have a relationship with you, no longer being outcasts, with being children of the Almighty God. Father, as we gather around your table this morning, let us remember the price that Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. And Father, let us be thankful. And let us be filled with joy and peace, knowing that we have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.